is West Southwest Brief on WMUK. I'm Arlene McMichael. On July 1st, things change dramatically for criminal defendants in Kalamazoo County who can't afford an attorney. They now can turn to a central office that has 22 attorneys. The nonprofit entity is called the Kalamazoo Defender. The office and other such efforts across Michigan to improve legal representation for the poor results from a class action lawsuit that the ACLU filed against the state of Michigan. The Kalamazoo Defender's $4.18 million budget is covered mostly by the newly created Michigan Indigent Defense Commission, as well as from support from Kalamazoo County. Two top administrators from the Kalamazoo Defender's office are here to tell us more. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks.
Can you all introduce yourselves?
My name is Donna Innes, and I'm the Interim Chief Public Defender at the Kalamazoo Defender Office.
I'm Josh Hilgart, the Executive Director at the Kalamazoo Defender Office.
In a sentence, describe what a public defender's office does.
We represent individuals who've been accused of crimes, individuals that are adults in the system. So currently that's the age of 17 and above in the state of Michigan. We represent felonies and misdemeanors in certain situations. All felonies are required to be given court-appointed attorneys if they so request and are eligible.
How many defendants in the Kalamazoo County's criminal justice system did we have in 2018, or just in a given year typically?
Recently, the felonies have been close to 2,000. In number, running between 1,700 and up to 2,000. Almost all of those are indigent, and court-appointed attorneys are required to be present under our Constitution. Misdemeanors, there are over 7,000. We would probably look at representing half of those that are eligible for a public defender.
Describe the system of legal representation. How did that work in the past here in Kalamazoo County?
In the past, there were several different contracts. So private attorneys would contract with funding units such as the county to represent individuals. There was no central control to that, so it made it difficult for individuals who were defending persons accused of crimes to have the ability to track what was going on in a centralized way. So the information is all siloed, and that makes it much more difficult. A collaborative effort certainly is much better for that. Also, the funding was drastically inadequate. So individuals that were representing those accused had difficulty finding investigators. They had difficulty following up on things due to the lack of financial ability that's been given by the counties. At that time, everything was funded separately through counties. There was no state funding that was given towards any indigent defense. That all changed when the Michigan Indigent Defense Commission came into being.
Let's hit the pause on that and just two more sentences or so in regards to what was that looking like in terms of legal defense for indigent people here in Kalamazoo County. For example, I was a little surprised that there wasn't even attorneys representing defendants at arraignments.
Well, and that's a critical stage, so that's a very good point. And now we've had case law that's come down and indicated that that's a very necessary component of it. It's the very first stage. It's the very first time that an accused has access to finding out exactly what the charges are. And it's also when bail or bond is set. And that is crucial for a person accused to be able to be out in a pretrial situation pending any trial. And in our nation, everyone is presumed to be innocent. And so it's very difficult when you're incarcerated awaiting trial to have the type of access you need to promote your defense with your lawyer.
What will be different under the Kalamazoo Defender's Office, and how is it structured?
Well, I will just address what will be different, and I think Mr. Hilgart can talk about the structure also. Well, we'll be present at all arraignments. That will be mandated. So we'll be there at the very first time to advise those accused of what the process is. And I think it really brings down that level of of anxiety and fear that individuals have when they get enmeshed in this huge system that seems very cold. It allows us to let them know the timing of the process. It allows us to talk with them initially about their cases, to know from the very beginning that we're going to be there to help them, and let them know what the process is as we go through.
I would echo what Chief Defender Innes was telling us about how an office that operates together is able to marshal its resources to improve the performance of the office generally, sharing motions, getting advice from more senior attorneys, having mentorships within the office is something that was unavailable when we had the individual contracts that preceded this. With that in mind, we've set up teams of attorneys to practice together so they can learn from one another. And also springing from what Ms. Innes said regarding an experience that is more predictable for the defendants, we are striving in every way possible to create more dignity in the process so that their interaction with our office is one that leaves them feeling more represented holistically than they might have in the prior system.
Let's talk a little bit about that holistic approach. My understanding is that your office will also have a focus on trying to keep defendants from reoffending. Could you talk a little bit about that and how your office might be a little bit different than other public defender offices?
Certainly. We begin, though, with the approach that whatever happens down the line, we are attempting to care for the individual and their, you know, multifaceted needs, not just the criminal situation, because usually the charge that they're facing springs out of a number of factors: poverty, race, the way policing takes force, their own mental health, their own personal trauma throughout their lives. There are so many factors that have very little to do with the piece of clothing that got stolen off the Kohl's rack. That's a small part of the dynamic that we encounter with our clients. And heretofore, that panoply of difficulties have not been addressed in one place, I would say, to the degree that we could.
And how exactly do you plan to do that? Do you have a certain set staff member? Are they doing referrals? How is that working?
It's an excellent question and a challenge for us. Just say that we opened our offices to every case that was being assigned on July 1st. And we received our money from the county. The state money flows through the county under our contract. We're a nonprofit. We're not a county entity. So we have set up our legal defense system and are improving that currently. But we already are putting in place plans for the holistic care. That includes two now state approved in our budget social workers that will begin in the fall. They will help navigate our clients to the appropriate resources. We are also seeking coordination among the many service providers here in Kalamazoo, actively trying to integrate the services that already exist so that our referral process can be better informed about where to bring our clients and how to make sure that the services they need have been fulfilled so that we can gauge the quality of our holistic program.
You've been listening to a West Southwest interview with representatives from the newly created Public Defender's Office in Kalamazoo County. Joshua Hilgart is the executive director of the Kalamazoo Defender's Office, and Donna Innes is the interim chief public defender. How many attorneys do you have?
There are 20 right now, plus Josh and myself.
Okay. Let's talk about funding. I believe the figure in the past, was it about $1.1 million is what used to be for contracted public defenders in the past? Your office will be operating on a $4.5 million budget?
We received a $4.18 million budget for our first year. The budget for the second year will be determined shortly. We're optimistic that we will be funded at least at that level. Your number was correct about the initial funding, the county contribution, which was the whole contribution initially.
In the past, that's how much used to be before the MIDC. Yes, uh-huh. So how much moving forward of that will come from the state and how much will come from the county?
Well, currently, about three quarters of the money is coming from the state. So the county is still providing the same amount that it used to. So the state money has not caused the county to reduce its funding. There's an agreement between the state and the county to maintain a system of funding that are in relation to one another.
And in terms of who qualifies for public defender service, like what are the qualifications that you have to meet?
Well, for felonies, it's just a matter of indigency. In misdemeanors, the requirement for an appointed attorney is that the prosecution or a judge must be going to impose a jail sentence. So, for instance, if you're charged with having no dog license, which is a misdemeanor, then no one is going to jail on that. You would not be entitled to a court-appointed attorney under that scenario.
Is there an income?
There's also income. All of this would be if you have to be below the poverty line.
Did I understand that there will still be some private attorneys involved?
Well, there's always conflict cases. So individuals that are represented in court-appointed or public defender situations, if there is another individual, for instance, that is a co-defendant, so the allegation is that two individuals were together and are accused of committing that crime, they have to be represented by another individual that's not in our office in those situations. So there are panels of what we call conflict attorneys. So when there's a conflict and someone else has to represent those individuals, also the attorneys have to meet the same requirements, which have to do with continuing legal education each year. And most attorneys in Michigan are not required to have continuing legal education. But when the Michigan Indigent Defense Commission was formed, one of the standards has to do with the education because it's very specialized to represent individuals in these situations who are indigent and facing the accusation of having committed a crime. And so there are 12 hours of continuing legal education that have to be performed that are relatable to indigent defense itself. So those conflict panel attorneys also have to have that educational level, and they are essentially monitored by Michigan Indigent Defense also.
Isn't something else that makes your office distinctive? I believe Mr. Hilgart was talking about you are a nonprofit. Most public defender offices are not nonprofit. Is that correct? It's usually a governmental body of some sort.
It's true. There are a number of models around the country for nonprofits, but they are certainly in the minority. Kalamazoo County was somewhat bold in its decision to seek a nonprofit, where most of the counties, the larger counties in Michigan that decided to establish a public defender office, went with an in-county program. It's much easier. You've already got human resources in place, retirement accounts, tech support. All of those things are pre-existing. But part of the reason the county went with the nonprofit was that the MIDC is going to issue standards shortly that would require independence from the county and the courts and the government. And that is probably going to require new policies and some kind of barrier between county governments and their county-based programs. Kalamazoo decided to sidestep that issue entirely by having a nonprofit bid for the job and therefore be independent from the start.
I am curious. Funding on anything, even for schools, you know, could be precarious because it looks like, you know, the state will be three quarters of your budget. What happens in the future if funding goes up and down with the state in terms of the public defender's office?
Well, we'll have to, you know, take that as it comes. I believe that we have some security insofar that, as you alluded, there was a court case that found Michigan to be inadequate in delivering its indigent defense, and the settlement agreement between the state and the ACLU who brought that case was that they would establish the MIDC, establish protocols for attorneys, and fund such an operation. And the resulting budget and organization that requires the continuing legal education Attorney Innes spoke of is the product of that settlement. That said, it doesn't mean that there might not be shifting budgets down the road, which we'll just have to weather as we come. But go ahead.
Yeah, and that decision, just for our listeners who may not be familiar with this, that decision came down, I believe, in 2013. I think that's the date that I've read. Does that sound about right to you?
Does. The suit, I think, was brought in 2007, 2008, and
the settlement was probably around that time. I would like to talk about some more broader issues. Those are some big numbers in terms of defendants. And certainly there's been a lot of attention of the mass incarceration of certainly African Americans. But at the end of the day, often just people who are indigent, right? Like, what do you think could change reducing even just the sheer numbers of defendants in the system? Of course, yes, don't commit crimes. I got that. But there's also a presumption of innocence in terms of some people can make bail, some people can't, bail reform, things like that. All the kinds of things that happen get you incarcerated because either you have a lack of representation or a lack of money. For example, the documentary When They See Us. Really kind of speaks to what happens when you feel you have no other options and you just cop a plea and you may or may not be guilty.
Well, our system has in the U.S. is largely pushed by prosecution. They have enormous power in our system. They have the power to charge someone with a crime. They have the power to dismiss. They're really the only ones with that power absent being in court and motions being filed and judges making decisions. But the initial charging function belongs to a prosecutor. And what we have seen over the years in many counties, including our own, is in some instances there's overcharging of an individual. There are types of issues that are better solved in the community. There is some movement towards this. There's been a lot of research on understanding that individuals have been traumatized and they react in certain ways because of their history of trauma. And we need to talk to people early in their lives and have systems in place to assist them in recognizing the trauma, recognizing that their reactions in some ways are due to that trauma, and helping people to move through that. A lot of this is going to be education. I think that certain things will be decriminalized, low-level types offenses. I think there will be movement towards that. There's already a lot of bail reform packages that are sitting in our legislature here in Michigan to try to ease that. For instance, if a person is charged with a child support situation, when they're charged with a crime of not paying child support, judges' hands are currently tied. They cannot set a discretionary bond. They're required to set a bond that is a certain percentage of what is owed for the arrearage. So the very object that is wanted, that is this person should be out working and providing support, is stymied because the bond is so high that they will then have to wait pre-trial in jail before they can resolve their matter either through trial or plea negotiations. We've seen progress with prosecutors in other parts of the nation, and now it seems as if we also are seeing a lot more interest in defender offices. The nation as a whole, I believe, is understanding that the system is inherently unfair, and inherently individuals are forced into situations that they should not have to be forced into, and that has to do with this incarceration. We have a great movement now here, even in Michigan, to remove people from prisons and to reduce incarcerations levels. In order to continue with that, we really need to have programs that get on the front end. By the front end, I mean before individuals are charged, or delay that charging decision so we can work with individuals to have a solution that doesn't necessarily involve a criminal conviction.
And regarding jail, I'm going to jump in and point out that the research shows that jail is trauma-inducing itself. Just being denied bail or a bail that you can't afford puts you in jail awaiting your pretrial, and that alone can traumatize individuals. It reduces their ability not just to work and pay the child support that Attorney Innes referred to, but it undermines their ability to be able to move forward once they have dealt with their criminal charge. And I would say also that we are doing our best to work with agencies in Kalamazoo and the prosecutor's office to try to create diversions by putting together, again, coming back to our holistic hopes, plans for our defendants that include community support, mental health if necessary, securing housing, making sure that they have stabilized lives so that we don't have to use jail. We can find another way to help them on a path to being productive citizens that permits the prosecutor's office to agree to a suspended charge or dismissing the charge altogether.
I used to, at another job before I came to Kalamazoo, I used to be a criminal justice reporter. And I know sometimes that public defenders can be underpaid. At least that's the sense that I had gotten at the time. And so I know that there can be even a sense that public defenders can become overworked, have a large caseload, they don't get paid enough. I know you're just getting started, but how will you keep that quality high here in Kalamazoo?
Well, historically, it has been abysmal. Individual attorneys were forced to basically live out of their suitcase moving from county to county as they chased court appointments in order to just keep the office doors open. So you had individuals, maybe, I mean, we'll just use as a number, perhaps 20 or more, who had separate offices and separate office overhead. They had separate things that they were doing without any of the collaboration that's really necessary in order to present a really decent defense. And now individuals are under one umbrella, if you will, with the defender. The pay structure and the benefit package are much improved from that. And that's the whole point of the Michigan Indigent Defense Commission, was that there needed to be some parity with prosecutors in terms of payment and benefits and stability for individuals, and not have lawyers having to move from county to county to accept appointments to keep the doors open. And, you know, they were doing the very best that was possible under a system that was woefully inadequate. And the system that we have now is, I think, has a very bright future. And I'm extremely optimistic and obviously very passionate about this particular defender office.
And I think, you know, the attorneys that have been practicing in this area have been at a disadvantage for the reason that Attorney Innes gave, that they were underfunded and had to stretch themselves beyond their abilities. It also was not the most attractive job for those who had multiple other options. And so you end up with people that really truly believe about this cause and are often doing it out of a sense of mission and zealousness, and then it becomes one of self-sacrifice, which is an inappropriate way to uphold the Sixth Amendment of the Constitution. So with regard to our office and its reputation, we have endeavored to hire attorneys that are not only talented, experienced, committed, zealous, eager to serve this mission. But we've also done our best to try to make the job, and the county has been a great partner here, to make the job one that can be a career, one that rewards the attorneys for their work so that they feel a part of something that that values their work rather than a means to get by to carry out justice on the skinned.
And I don't know if there are some final words that you want to add in terms of what brings us to this place in the creation of this office. Yes, it is the lawsuit, right? But there was also a movement here locally to try to get a public defender's office. Is there any thoughts that you want to share about that?
Well, Kalamazoo is quite an unusual community, and our ability to put together particularly a nonprofit holistic defender office, it was only possible because there has been a movement afoot to get something better than what we had.
And how long has that been going on at the open house site? Did I hear more than 20 years? What was the time frame?
I would be hard pressed to put a year on how long. I'm sure it's
more than
it's
10
been
years.
Discussed. Certainly that. Probably more than 20, depending on who you ask. It certainly was a deficit in the community that was widely recognized. And fortunately, the MIDC funding permitted us to do it in a way that, you know, is likely to be effective.
I do think there was movement here in the county back probably in 2006 or 2007. There were some members of the county commission that were more forward-thinking than the others back at the time. Now, of course, we have individuals are very much behind this. But back then, there was that. From the attorney, I've been practicing 30 years, we have always wanted this. We have always wanted the collaboration and the ability to be together because we need to exchange ideas. With the internet access that has come on in the last few decades, it's been much easier to share things through forums and share what is happening in different parts of the state. Because the prosecuting attorneys have always had a statewide association where they disseminate information. Defenders have never really had that. So now we're moving forward with much more information, much more collaboration, which makes our job and our ability to defend individuals accused much more enriching and enables us to do a better job for our clients.
Donna Innes, Chief Public Defender for Kalamazoo County. Joshua Hilgart, the Executive Director for the Kalamazoo Defender's Office. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for
having
us.
Thank you so much.
Hear the longer interview on our website at WMUK.org, through our WMUK app, or in our podcast, West Southwest. You can subscribe through Apple Podcasts or by searching podcasts in Google Music. For West Southwest, I'm Earlene McMichael.